If you have your Bibles, Daniel chapter number 1. Daniel chapter number 1 is where we're going to be this evening. And I'm very thankful for the opportunity and privilege to preach here to you tonight. And thank you, Brother Keith, for having me. My pastor sends his greetings, Pastor Jeff Redlin. We're there in Fort Collins, Colorado. And actually, I think, Amber, is it? I think it's in 2 days. We'll start into our 8th year of ministry there, which is really hard to believe, but it's exciting. And God is... Daniel chapter number 1 is where we're going to be. If you think about, okay, Daniel, the life of Daniel, you could probably, in your top 5, let's say your top 5 Bible characters that you ever think about, Daniel might be in your top 5. He's in my top 5. He's one of those that is, you know, you're growing up and you're thinking about, okay, these Bible characters that you hear about in Sunday school, I'd like to be like him. I think Joseph would be up there. Joseph would definitely be one that I would say, man, I'd really like to model my life after him. Or you could say Moses. You could say David. And obviously all of these men, none of them were perfect, but they are people from the Bible that we've learned from over the years. And Daniel is one that ever since I was a little kid, I've said, man, well, Daniel, he was taken away from his home. He still made an impact where he was. And that's what I want to be able to do. I want to go be able to make an impact somewhere. And so that's what Daniel did. And Daniel was obviously under some of the worst of circumstances. And yet he purposed in his heart. And then you go on to see in his life later on where he impacted his friends. It didn't matter what was going to take place in his life. He was going to serve God. And what a great example for us. We're going to look at a couple things tonight here out of Daniel chapter number 1. And we're going to begin reading verse number 1. And we'll read down to verse number 8. Verse number 1. In the third year, the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. The king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end of thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and unto Hananiah Shadrach, and unto Mishael Meshach, and unto Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. I love verse number 9 as well. Let's read that one as well. Now God brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. We could keep going, and really you could just read the life of Daniel, to be honest with you, and get convicted about it because of what Daniel did. And being a youth pastor, I love being a youth pastor. To me, it's one of the greatest jobs you could ever have. And I'm very thankful for my youth pastor. Brother Keith was my youth pastor up until my junior year of high school when we moved up to McDonough. And then Brother Wayne Meeks was my youth pastor for a couple of years. I'm very thankful for youth pastors that I had in my life. And now I get to be one. And so when I think about teenagers, and again, a lot of times I'm preaching and teaching to teenagers, when I'm teaching and when I'm preaching to them, I'm thinking about that which they can do for God. I see them as a seventh grader. It's interesting now we've had an entire, this next graduating class, we got them in seventh grade. But we've had two that we got when we got in seventh grade, and now they've made it all the way through, and some of them are off at Bible college and different things like that. That's the neatest thing in the world, to be able to say, okay, well, you came when you were in seventh grade, and now you've stayed faithful, and now you're off serving at a Christian college. Well, now we also have several that have graduated from Christian college that are serving in ministry. One really neat thing, we have a student, he was at Pensacola. He's been there for 7 years. He got his undergrad, he got his bachelor's there, and then he got his master's there as well, his MDiv. And now we just announced a couple weeks ago that we're hiring him on our staff as one of our assistant pastors. And I'm excited that somebody that graduated from our youth group is now coming back to be able to be on our staff, which is just, as a youth pastor, it's like, man, that's really cool. And it is those things that are, you know, that's not why I serve God, but it does help a lot. And it really does encourage you when those things happen. And so when you see those things take place, I think this is kind of the life of Daniel. And when I think of teenagers, I'm like, okay, if I could just get them to the point of where Daniel's at, okay? Because Daniel purposed in his heart, and then we see after that, all these different things took place. Okay, so I started thinking about the life of Daniel. I thought, all right, how did he get to a point where he was able to purpose in his heart? I don't think it just happened. I don't think it was just by chance that he purposed in his heart. I think there were several things that took place in the life of Daniel that led up to this point here in verse number 8, where he was able to purpose in his heart. And we're going to look at those this evening. Let's look at our first point. The first one that I know that took place in the life of Daniel is he was taught. He was taught. Before he could ever purpose, he was taught the word of God. And we know that because he wouldn't defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Why wouldn't he do that? It's not just like it'd be like, okay, here, let's take you to, let's put it in modern day terms. Let's go over to Saudi Arabia. Let's go over to Dubai, to one of the richest areas in the world. And let's say, all right, we're going to take you over there, and we're going to give you everything that you could ever want. Okay, we're going to put you in the nicest building. We're going to put you in a palace, in a sense. We're going to give you everything that you could ever need to succeed. We're going to teach you. We're going to give you the proper protein. We want you to get stronger. We want you to get bigger. We want you to get faster. We also want you to get smarter. We're going to give you everything that you could possibly want in this life. And all you've got to do is learn and do it. And then one day you're going to stand before the king. And then if you're good enough, we're going to give you a place of position and power. How does that sound? Well, he'd say, okay, well, if you're going to give me everything that I could ever want. Well, now there's one caveat to that. Here's some of the things that we're going to offer you. Well, it's the same things that we would know that that time frame would have been offered to gods or to their idols. And so Daniel's sitting there saying, hey, listen, I can't do that. Well, why couldn't he do that? It's because he was taught. I know this, and I'm thankful. If I could say one thing about Pine Bluff Baptist Church, it would be faithfulness. That's a word that comes to my mind when I think of Pine Bluff Baptist Church. And I know that there are people in here that, to be honest with you, have been my teachers in the past. Whether it's Brother Keith as a youth pastor or Brother Strotter back when we were in, what was it, third and fourth grade boys Sunday school class, I think it was, maybe fifth and sixth, even before I ever got to youth group. Listen, we were taught the word of God. That is the key, is the teaching of the word of God. And don't ever forget that. Sometimes I'll talk to people, or I'll talk to teenagers, I'll talk to their parents. Sometimes it's like I'm trying to teach parents instead of trying to teach teenagers, but that's a... You know exactly what I'm talking about. So sometimes it's more worried about the parents. Well, now you think about this. There's a lot of people who today would say, okay, well, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to go. I'm a Christian, but I don't need to go to church. Well, they're missing the teaching of the Word of God. I don't care where you are in this life, how old you are, how young you are. You need to understand that we need the teaching of the Word of God. And we get that from the we get it from preaching. We get it from reading the Word of God. My daughter's 3 years old. 5 years old. I'm sorry. I don't know why I said 3 years old. I don't know where that came from. My daughter's 5 years old, and she's at a place right now where she's starting to learn to read. And she's in K-4 in our Christian school, and she's starting to learn to read. And they're three-letter words, but she's starting to learn how to read. I wouldn't expect to be able to hand her the Word of God and say, hey, teach yourself. Now, we have the Word of God, and we have the opportunity to open up the Word of God and to read it for ourselves, and so we can, in a sense, be teaching ourselves by the reading of the Word of God. The Bible says that we have a more sure word of prophecy. Isn't that amazing? The disciples, they walked with God, and they say, hey, listen, this is even better. This is better than walking with Jesus Christ personally. You have him. right here in the Word of God, and we can know him. But if we're not willing to be taught, then we're not going to understand what we need to be doing. And so Daniel, he was taught the Word of God. He was also taught to love God. To love God. If he didn't love God, then when he walked over into Babylon, he wouldn't have cared. He would have said, okay, give me whatever is going to make me the best. All right, let's go and let's do it. Well, we know that's not the story. He said, hey, listen, I can't eat that stuff. Would you give me this instead? And he got water and some type of a rice or beans or some type of a soup, it would be type of thing. And yet the other guys that are with him, they had the same training back in Israel. They were taught. But he was taught to love God. Learn to love God. But teach others to love God. It's so important for us to know that we have the opportunity to teach others how they ought to love Christ. We can do that in a couple ways. We can do one by showing them the love of Christ. By showing others the love of Christ, you're teaching them to love God. And also, we can do so by our actions. We heard a message last week at our church by a man, by a good friend of mine. His name is Matt Tice. He's a youth pastor, assistant pastor out in Las Vegas, Nevada. And he is a very good friend. And he taught a message last week about, faith works. And faith does. Our faith should work. We should be able to see the love of Christ all over our actions. Everything that you do, people are looking to see that there's something different. Albany, Georgia, you could drive around Colorado and you're not going to find a ton of churches. Okay, that's more typical of the West. Here, everybody goes to church. But there's something that's different between going to church and loving God. There's something different than going to church and knowing the Word of God. So he was taught to love God. He was taught the Word of God. He was taught truth. He was taught truth. Our pastor preached a message this morning, and I didn't get to hear it, but I'll listen to it here in the near future. And I didn't get to hear it, but I know what it was about. It was about, can we know truth? Well, absolutely we can. My generation is one that is whatever you think is truth, is truth. And he played a video. It's been one that He kind of edited it around a little bit, and he showed this morning, but it was on college campuses about asking people, truth, do you know truth? Can truth be known? Well, it can. Well, if Daniel knew truth, and if you can know truth, then what are you going to do with it? If we know the Word of God, if we've been taught the Word of God, we've been taught to love God, we've been taught truth, then we can eventually get to a point where we can purpose in our heart and make a difference like Daniel did. But he was taught truth. Don't ever shy away from teaching people truth. There's a lot of churches today who will teach whatever makes you feel good. Sometimes the truth hurts. We know that. I don't like to hear everything that the Word of God says, but it is truth. And it's good for my life, and it's good for me to obviously live my life according to the Word of God. But don't be afraid to teach other people the truth. He was taught the Word of God. He was taught to love God. He was taught truth. He was taught what to do and what not to do. A lot of times, and I'm dealing with parents, they'll say, well, listen, a lot of times churches just have a bunch of rules and that's all it is. Well, it is rules. But here's what I'm trying to teach teenagers is that everywhere you go, there are rules. You go to work tomorrow and you decide to not do, or let's say you have to wear some particular type of uniform and you just decide, okay, well, I'm not going to wear that anymore. Well, what's going to happen? Find a new job. They don't care. Why? Because there is a right and there is a wrong. And to be honest with you, it goes a lot further than, okay, what am I supposed to wear when I'm at work? It is what is right and what is wrong according to the Word of God. Because styles change, all right? Maybe your job, they say, you have to wear a tie. Well, ties weren't always around, okay? So it would have been weird if back in this time frame they said, well, he's not wearing a tie, so I guess he's not godly. Okay, that's not the case, all right? It is, though, when it's a rule, we're to follow it. And he was taught what was right and what was wrong according to the Word of God. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. That is truth for all people, all places, and all times. That doesn't change. Again, styles and fads and all these different things, they're going to change. And even cultural, Okay, I had a great opportunity to go on a mission trip over to Myanmar. Me and Pastor Redland, we went over there. We met up with a couple of other missionaries that were there. And we got to just minister to some different Christian colleges and to some churches over there that we, as a church, had opportunity to give towards those Christian colleges. So culturally, things were different. You could go to a Christian college there for 4 years for about $500, $500 US. That is room, board, everything. A full four-year degree for about $500 US. That's what it would cost you. It's a little not bad, right? Okay. That's culturally something totally different. We wouldn't understand that. Okay, well, culture changes and different things are different places, but the Word of God is always true. And so it didn't matter if Daniel was at home or if Daniel was in Babylon, the Word of God is true. And what was right to do back in Israel is still right to do when he is here now in Babylon. And so he was taught that which is right and that which is wrong. He was taught how to obey. It's interesting how many times when you look at problems, especially with teenagers, it comes back to not being willing to obey. And to just be honest with you, with parents as well, and with anybody. It's just a matter of willing to submit your will to that which you know is right or wrong, and then be willing to do it. Just be willing to do it. Be willing to obey. He was willing to obey even when nobody else was around. You know what's interesting is we know that, I'll call them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I know they have other names as well, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel were the ones that said, hey, listen, we can't eat of this. And what happened? But at the end, man, they fared much better. Okay, they fared 10 times better than the other guys. Well, here's why. It's because they were willing to obey that which they had been taught. They weren't willing to go against the Word of God. We've said this, and I've said this 1,000 times, even to parents, but your kids should obey you as long as you are obeying the Word of God. If you're obeying the Word of God and your life lines up with the Word of God, then your children should obey anything that you say to do. Now, when it comes contradictory to the Word of God, then they can disobey you, okay? But they're obeying the Word of God over obeying their parents. And that is the most important thing, that we're obeying the Word of God. And so Daniel's understanding that here. He's saying, hey, listen, I've got an authority over me, and they're telling me to do this. It's contradictory to the Word of God. I'm going to go to the Word of God. And by the way, that's the way it should be in anybody's life. Hey, guess what would have guess what should have happened to Daniel? You're dead. And I think Daniel knew that. I really do. I think he knew it. I think he knew as soon as he said, hey, listen, I can't do this. I think he was willing to say, okay, if they say no, I'm not going to eat. Well, guess what that means? I'm going to starve. And if God doesn't provide some miraculous way, well, then I'm going to die. Or let's say that they come along and say, well, you're not willing to do what we're asking you to do. Well, then you're going to be a problem. We're just going to kill you. I think Daniel knew that. But it didn't matter. He said, I'm going to obey the Word of God no matter what. It doesn't matter what it is. Go to the Word of God and be willing to do it. The first thing that we see is that he was taught. The second thing that we're going to see tonight is that he listened. He listened. There's a big difference between being taught something and listening to it. Have you ever, maybe you commute to work, and I drive about 20 minutes in to work every day, and Taylor now is with me. So she's driving in, and there's been many times, okay, and this is not good on my part, but there's probably multiple times that throughout the school year that we could get to school, and I couldn't tell you anything that our conversation just was. Why? Because sometimes in the morning I'm just driving, and I'm not listening. She's talking, and I'm not listening. Or you could say the same thing the other way around. I'm talking, and she's not listening. There is a big difference between being taught and listening to that which is being taught. We understand this, that you could be sitting out there right now and you could be thinking about something totally different. The Word of God is being opened this morning. Great message this morning about God's timing. And you could have sat through the entire message being taught the Word of God and walk away with nothing. What's the problem? You didn't listen. And there's a big difference between being taught and willing to listen. Daniel was willing to listen, because I guarantee you this, what I'm thankful about Daniel's life is that he had teachers who were willing to teach him. Okay, they taught him the Word of God. They taught him to love God. They taught him to obey God. But Daniel was sitting there, and he was willing to listen. He was willing to listen to a couple things. The first thing he was willing to listen to is, and I think you're going to see a theme here, the first thing is the Word of God. He was willing to listen to the Word of God. It's the most important thing. You're going to keep seeing it over and over again as a theme throughout my message. But you understand that the Word of God is the most important. It has to be. It's not an order list of where we should put God. It's God should be the central, and everything else can rotate around that. And then through that, everything is going to be affected by God. If I try to put things in order, well, there's certain things that are important. And at one point, maybe God is the most important. But then all of a sudden, a crisis comes along, and now all of a sudden, I'm worried about this more than I'm worried about God. And you start moving different things around. But if God is the central point of our life, then we understand that he is and will be a part of every aspect of our life. So he listened to the Word of God. He listened to his authority. He listened to his authority as a kid. I think he also listened to his authority in Babylon. He knew what was about to take place. And in fact, he requested. Isn't that an interesting statement right there? He didn't demand, he didn't expect, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs. Again, that also comes to me the fact that he's probably willing to die for that which he believes, because if the request was denied, oh well. But he's sitting here and he is listening to his authority. People listen to you. What are you teaching them? People will listen to anybody who will talk, to be honest with you. But what are we teaching them? Well, he was taught the Word of God, and he was listening to the authority that he had over his in his life. He wasn't listening to his friends. Again, friends is huge with teenagers. It's interesting. I love coming back, and there are guys that I grew up with that I was around all the time at church, and even guys like Josh that I spent time with playing basketball and playing baseball in Little League. That's awesome. Okay, I'm glad that I can come back and I can see you guys. But to be honest with you, Andrew, when's the last time we hung out? 12 years ago? Something like that? Man, we're getting old, okay? It's probably been 10 years ago is the last time that we ever hung out. But to be honest with you, me and Andrew, we used to hang out all the time. And I would do a lot to hang out with Andrew. There were several of us guys. We would do all kinds of stuff together. And yet, at the same time, Andrew's married. He's got his family. I'm married. I have my family in Colorado. And even though when we come back, man, I can sit and hang out and talk with him all day long. But to be honest with you, it's not like we're best buds anymore. There was one point in my life where not just Andrew, but several of my friends, I would have done a lot of things to impress. I would have listened to them. Why? Because I wanted to impress them. He wasn't listening to his friends. He was listening to the Word of God. And if you find yourself listening, we say friends, but coworkers. You listen to those that are around you. You listen to that which is the world that is going to try to do everything to pull you away from God. If you listen to it, you're going to get pulled off track. And he didn't listen to his friends. Can you imagine this with me for just a minute? I kind of like picturing this story, all right? So you have Daniel, he's here, and they're walking to Babylon, okay? So over there somewhere is Babylon. And they're walking, and they're all together. Now, they're probably handcuffed. They're prisoners at this point. They don't know what's going to take place. I'm sure they didn't come in and say, excuse me, we'd like to take the best of everybody, and we're going to do all these great things for you. Would you like to come? No. The prince of the eunuchs there, he said, let's see here. We got a group of guys over here. I'll take you and 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 you. All right, let's go. What usually happens then? You're the first ones that are dead, okay? If you've seen any of the movies, you're the first ones that are going to die. So they take them, and all of a sudden they're going, and now they're all sitting there talking, right? They're talking with their friends, and they're walking. They're going to Babylon. There's no telling what the conversation could have been. But I'm guessing probably at one point some of the friends are going, all right, I'm going to do whatever it takes to survive. All right, I don't want to die. I'm too young to die. The most likelihood is that Daniel was probably about 16 years old. Okay, give or take a few years. Daniel was about 16 years old when this took place. And so he's walking with his friends and he's sitting there going, okay, well, what are we going to do, guys? And I'm sure there were some that said, hey, whatever they ask me to do, I'm going to do. I don't care what it is. I'm going to survive. You know why we know that? It's because there was a lot more than just the four guys that were taken that said, hey, listen, we can't eat of this stuff. There's a lot more. And so they're sitting there and they're walking and they're talking. And now all of a sudden you're sitting here and Daniel, he's not listening to what his friends say. He's listening to that which he's been taught and that which is the word of God. So he listened, or he was taught, he listened. He didn't listen to his friends. He didn't listen to the world, those that were there in Babylon. He was taught, he listened. But then more importantly than just listening, he learned. He learned. There's a big difference between listening to something and then learning. Learning. The first thing that he learned is, you can guess it, the word of God. Daniel learned what the word of God said. I challenge you tonight. I don't care where you're at in this life, learn the word of God. You're never too old to know more about the word of God. There's a man, he used to be a part of our church, and he moved away. And I was talking with Pastor Matt Tice. He stayed in our home last weekend, and we were talking, and he said, hey, listen, this guy, he's from your church, and he's a very good friend of mine. And he's older. He actually has kids that are my age, and he's a good friend. We played softball together, all these different things. He said he's read through his Bible a lot, but he's never read through it in 1 year. And he said, I really want to read my Bible through in a year. And Pastor Matt said, well, let's do it together. And so every morning, he showed me these texts. Every morning, Brad Mayhew is his name. He's a gentleman in our church, and he's texting him every morning. Hey, read my five chapters today. Read my five chapters today. Okay, he's got kids that are my age. All right, so wherever that puts him in age category, I don't really know. But he's got kids that are my age. Well, why? I don't want to ever be too old at a place where I can't learn more. You're being taught the word of God every day. And maybe you've been at this church for 20 years, or you've been at this church once, or you've been at the church for a couple months. But every time the word of God is opened and it's taught, we should listen, but then we should learn something. We should learn something about the word of God. Whatever the word of God says, we should be listening to it to a point where we are learning what it says. Brother Keith used to always, when we were in youth group and he was our youth pastor, he would always have things up on the screen. Always. He was, I think, ahead of your time technology-wise. I think he did a great job with it. And he always had stuff up on the screen in youth group. And that was a long time ago. Pastor Redland, my pastor, he was a youth pastor in Pensacola, Florida for many, many years. And he was always, he shows me some of the stuff that he did. And it's funny because the graphics are absolutely horrible. But he was way ahead of his time at that point. He would take, you know, copy one thing over another to get these perfect little cutout clip art things for his flyers for youth group. And I thought, oh, it's really cool. I'm so glad I don't have to do that, to be honest with you. But I'm glad you did. Well, a lot of times when we see something, then we can learn from it better. When we hear it, when it's taught, and we see it up on a screen, or we see it somewhere, then we learn it even more. Well, you know what? The same is true in our own lives. When we see something, you know what? We can look around and you can look at people's lives even in this room. Or even better, you could go out and just watch people. Okay, go over here to Walmart and just watch people for a few minutes. And you can learn what to do and what not to do, just to be honest with you. You can learn, okay, that, I should probably never dress like that. That's not good. Or you can watch the world and say, hey, listen, that doesn't work. But we can also listen to the word of God and know, okay, this is how we are to live our life. Whether you're listening to it from being taught or you're listening to it by seeing what's going on, learn what the word of God says and begin to do it. So he's learning it. I think back in Israel, he's at a place where he's not just being taught it, he's not just listening to it, but he's learning it. How do we know that? It's because he was willing to purpose in his heart later on. So he learned the word of God. He learned what was right and what was wrong. If you know the word of God, the Bible talks about it being able to rightly divide the word of truth, or that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All those things are what is right, what is wrong, how to get it right, and how to keep it right. You've heard that before. It's a great way to learn that verse. But what is right? There is what is right. We live in a world today that says, whatever's right to you, you go ahead and do it. That's not true. Marriage is marriage between a man and a woman, a naturally born man and a woman. Isn't it sad that we have to say things like that today? But they say, okay, whatever's right is right. No, whatever is right according to the word of God is right. And then what's wrong is wrong. And so understand that we have to be able to learn that which is right and that which is wrong. We have to be willing to be taught it, but we also have to learn that which is right and that which is wrong. How to seek after God's plan. Daniel didn't know what was going on. None of the guys did. They're all walking together. They don't know what's going on, but they're sitting there going, okay, well, again, some of them might be saying, okay, I'm going to do whatever it takes to survive. But if we know the word of God and we understand the word of God and we're learning the word of God, then we're going to come to a point in time in our life where we say, okay, God, whatever you have is best for me. And it's so true. Whether it's a certain job or a house or a location or a future spouse, it doesn't matter. Whatever God has in plan for your life, just be willing to do it. Learn how to seek after God's plan. He learned how to obey no matter what. He learned how to obey God no matter what. Because the authority came and said, hey, listen, you need to do this. And he was willing to obey the word of God. So he wasn't just taught. He listened. He learned. And then next, he believed. He believed. I can learn something. I can learn a lot about this chair, okay, this bench right here. I can learn everything about it. In fact, somebody could teach me a lot about it, okay? I was looking across, and I'm amazed at how well these pews are still. They're in incredible shape, okay? Because I remember, some of you might not say that, okay? But I remember putting them in. I got to help the guys that put them in. They hired me. I can remember pulling all the old ones out and then just doing a bunch of stuff when we put all of these new pews in. And I was just kind of looking at them, and I'm sitting here going, okay, well, those guys could probably teach us a lot about these pews, okay? You could learn how to make them. They could teach us how everything was done. I could listen to it. I could sit there intently, and I could learn all these different things, okay? But if all of these things are great, and in fact, I think there are a lot of people, to be honest with you, in churches today who they know the Word of God, or they've been taught the Word of God, they've listened to the Word of God, they've learned the Word of God, but now it comes a point in time where you got to believe the Word of God. Until you come to a point in time in your life where you believe what the Word of God says is true, it doesn't do you any good. This doesn't do us any good if I know everything about it, but I don't use it for what it's made for. What is it made for? Well, it's made to sit in. And I can sit here and I can question it and I can all these different things about this, but until I actually take time to sit down and trust it, I'm not doing any good. So Daniel went from a point in time in his life where he wasn't just taught, he didn't just listen, he didn't just learn, but he believed. And there has to come a point in time in your life where you say, okay, I believe it. Yeah, all right, if the Bible says that I'm supposed to do that, well, all right, I'm going to believe it and I'm going to do it. All right, if the Bible says this, well, then, okay, I'll do that. I'm going to rest in the fact that, all right, God, whatever your plan is, I'll do it. But I believe that. And so he came to a point in time where he believed the word of God. He believed what he was taught. Again, I go back to the importance of being willing to teach, being willing to teach others. It says, let's see here, in verse 2 Timothy 2, verse number 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who may be able to teach others also. That's what our job is in life. One of them is to glorify God and to teach others how to glorify God as well. Bring somebody else along with you. And you can live the Christian life and it be you. That's great. And for some people that is okay. But you know what? You can make a difference in this world. You can make an impact in this community. You can make an impact in this town and in this state. And I'm telling you, you never know what one person being willing to witness to somebody else can do. We heard about it this morning. How one person was willing to witness, and now all of a sudden that changed something. And you could go on and on. I was over in Myanmar, and guess what? I was at places where Adoniram Judson churches were. All right? Myanmar is modern-day Burma. And Adoniram Judson was over there in Burma. And there's a pillar there. There's a stone there. There's a church there. And they're all in dedication of Adoniram Judson. Well, what happened? He just was willing to say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I believe it, and I'm going to go try to help some other people along the way. Well, here's what happened. He changed an entire country. In the northern part of Myanmar, where we were at, and this is a lot more remote, okay, we flew into a place where literally one plane goes in, one plane goes out every day. It's really cool. It's really unique to be able to be over there. And if you ever get a chance, I challenge you to go. But Myanmar, it's a neat place. In fact, it's so remote that the vice president flew commercially with us. He was like 10 rows ahead of me on our plane, and we got to fly with the president of Myanmar. Really neat. But there's a guy there not that long ago in the 1970s named Van Gelderen. And Van Gelderen started a big revival there. In fact, in the Chin state, in the northern area, in the Chin Hills, they would consider themselves 100% Christian. I got to preach there through an interpreter, and they speak Chin or they speak Burmese. And I asked the guy while I'm sitting down with him at lunch, he's one of the Bible teachers there at the college. I said, hey, why would people see a white guy here and say, why are you here? All right? So, I mean, do people vacation here? Do they, you know, what's the deal? Is it because everything's so cheap here? Everything is really cheap there. Okay. Again, you can go to 4 years of Bible college for about $500. You can, if you earn about $150 a month there, then you are above the middle class. Okay, you're doing really well. And I said, so why are people coming here? Are they coming here for business because they want to, you know, they can do well here or whatever? He said, no. I said, so why? He said, oh, because they think you're probably with a church or a Bible college. Wow. I wasn't expecting that answer. But here's what it is that somebody in the 1970s was willing to say, hey, listen, I believe the word of God and I'm willing to teach the word of God to others. And so he did. He went over to Myanmar and said, hey, I want to teach the word of God. And it's had an impact for generations and generations and generations today because of just one man saying, hey, listen, I believe it, so I'm willing to teach others. Don't ever discount the fact that God has given us the command to teach others the word of God. So he was taught, he listened, he learned, and then he believed, okay? Again, he believed that what he was taught, he believed that God knew what he was doing. He believed that God knew what he was doing. He believed, this is one thing that I just wrote down, and I added to this after I taught it to my teenagers. He didn't assume that by going to the Prince of the Eunuchs that God was just automatically going to, okay, I'll give you everything. Sometimes in this life, we have to take a stand for what's right, and it's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us something great. Now, I don't know if in my generation or in the next or whatever the case may be, if in our own country that we're going to see persecution. We've never really seen persecution here. Not even close. We'll go and knock on a door and somebody will slam it in our face and we get all bent out of shape because of it. Man, we haven't seen persecution in this life. But Daniel's at a point in time where not only is he in a place of persecution, but he's at a place where they take him completely away from his home. They take him away from everything that he's ever known, everything that he's ever loved, everything that he's ever, I mean, anything that he's got, it's gone. And now he's simply saying, God, whatever you want, I'm willing to do. So he believed it. And then I also, I jotted this down as well. I think he talked about it. While they're walking and while they're, you know, talking from Babylon or they're walking towards Babylon, I think Daniel's sitting there going, hey guys, remember what we learned back in Sunday school? Yeah, hey, you remember the story about how Noah was the one that was found faithful. And so God kept him alive. And maybe they're going through some old, you know, Bible stories. And they're talking about him. And as they're walking and they're kind of talking, I think he's saying, hey guys, hey, I don't care what happens to me over there in Babylon. I'm going to serve God. And maybe, just maybe, again, I'm kind of using this liberally a little bit. But let's just say that Daniel's walking along and he's saying, hey guys, no matter what happens, I'm going to do what's right. Maybe there's a guy named Azariah sitting right behind him. And maybe off in the distance, there's somebody else who just kind of heard the backside of the conversation. His name was Mishael. And he was kind of struggling. And he's sitting there going, well, should I do what's right or should I do what's wrong? Maybe he wasn't thinking those exact terms. But he's sitting there thinking, okay, what am I going to do? And Daniel says, I'm going to do what's right. Mishael's sitting back there going, huh, I should probably do the same. Those three guys' lives were changed because one man, Daniel, said, hey, listen, I don't care what happens to me. I know what's right because I've been taught, because I've learned, because I've listened, because I believe it, and I'm going to be willing to do it. You should come along with me. Hey, take a stand with me. The great thing about the Christian life is that we should be willing to live it even if we're the only one. But what's nice about the Christian life is, hey, listen, all of you, we're all serving God. And you know what? When somebody's hurting or when somebody is struggling, there are other Christians that can come right along and say, hey, listen, hey, let's do this together. Let's serve God together. So he believed and he talked about that which he believed. And then we'll get to the last one. And this is where we're at in verse number 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel purposed in his heart. Now, in this passage, he purposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself with the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Okay, I think he purposed a lot more than just that. Now, I believe that was a result of it. I believe that he purposed that he would do what he was taught from the Word of God, what he listened to, what he learned, and what he believed in the Word of God. And then he was able to purpose. And if I could get 10 teenagers to a point where they said, I'm going to purpose in my life to do no matter what God asked me to do, no matter what the consequences are, no matter what the circumstances, I'm going to do it. My youth group would be radically changed. But there is a lot of things that take place before we can ever purpose in our heart. It doesn't just happen. Now, again, I said this, that I don't know if persecution is going to come in this generation or the next or the next, but what would happen if it did happen to you? What if tomorrow you went into work and all of a sudden somebody accused you of something because you're a Christian? Are you willing to stand for that which you believe in? Even if it means getting fired? Are you willing to stand for Christ even if it meant losing whatever? Maybe it's losing your life. I'm willing to do that which is whatever because I want to serve God. That's where we should be in our Christian life. Because if we know it, which we should know the Word of God. We have it. We've been taught it. We've listened to it. We should learn it. We should believe it. Okay, now we can come to a point in time in our life where we'd say, hey, I'm purposing to do that which and that what the Word of God is teaching us to do. The last one, and I'm done, is he did it. He did it. There are some people who come through all these points. They believe it. They're resting it. They're trusting it. They're purposing it. They're going to do it now. And then it comes to the point in time where they say, all right, here's where the rubber meets the road. And they fall away. Hey, this town, this world needs people who are willing to do it no matter what the cost, to do what the Word of God says, to be able to teach others also. You know, Daniel had an impact for generations to come, obviously still to this day. Daniel is somebody who got to serve in multiple kingdoms. That's unheard of. Normally what would happen, a new kingdom comes in, they kill everybody and start all over with what they want. Daniel's still around in the second one. Then all of a sudden, another kingdom comes in and, oh yeah, hey Daniel, he's still around. Hey, you don't want to kill that guy. Don't kill him. You want him as a part of your kingdom. Why? Because he purposed in his heart. And when you do, and when you're willing to take a stand, hey, God might bless you. I say that because you might die. Then you get the greatest blessing of all. But God might choose to use you. You know that God doesn't need you. The other man in this story is Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was greatly used by God. And he was a wicked man. God doesn't need us. But God wants to use us. And as long as we live on this earth and we have opportunity to be salt and light here in this world, we should be sharing the love of Christ with others around us. Daniel is a man who purposed in his heart. A lot of things led up to that point. And by the way, I don't think it ever ended with Daniel. Right? I don't think that Daniel got to a point where all of a sudden, you know, he's 50, 60 years old and he says, "All right, I'm good. I'm done learning. I'm done listening." No, he was still willing to be taught. He was still willing to learn. He was still willing to say, "Okay, that's true. I believe it." And he was willing to take a stand no matter what. The question for us tonight is, are we living a purposed life? It's not just going to happen. It's not going to happen randomly. It's not going to happen if we're not prepared for it. We have to be willing to do that which God has commanded us to do. But how do we do it? The Word of God. We have it right here. Every day, open the Word of God. Be taught. Listen. Learn. Believe. Then we can purpose and be willing to do. Let's pray.